This is the Empowerment Zone.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network, sponsored by the Brain Injury Law Group, Attorney Gordon Johnson, www.tbilaw.com, 800-992-9447. To get automatic updates, join in tbisn.org. When Attorney Gordon Johnson speaks about recovery, he isn't talking about the amount of money a survivor gets from a lawsuit or settlement. He's talking about getting better from the brain injury. Find him on the web at tbilaw.com or call 800-992-9447. Welcome to another edition of Brain Injury Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Constance Miller, your host for the next 2 hours here on the Brain Injury Radio Network. This is the Empowerment Zone, and this happens to be my very first broadcast, or at least solo broadcast. So I'm going to just kind of play it by ear, and hopefully there'll be questions out there that we can address, and then we'll just plan on having a good time here today. I'm just a little nervous, but I'm sure that'll wear off the more I talk. So I see there's one person in the chat room, and so we'll keep an eye on that. And then, but today, I'm going to talk to you about myself and about the brain injury movement, survivors movement, and how or where I'd like to see it go in the future. So anyway, what we'll do is to start with a introduction of me and what brought me here today. Excuse me. Seem to have a little allergy kind of thing going today, but we'll just work around it, and I'm sure everything will be fine. Now, as I said earlier, my name is Constance Miller. And by way of education, I have a background in social psychology. And I also, career-wise, a few of the highlights before my head injury. I was an activist in women's studies and healthcare reform. And so just in human rights in general, so I was very accustomed to challenging authority. And after my brain injury happened on a fateful day in 1982, I noticed that there were changes in the way that I felt and my mental processes. And I was very, very concerned that something had gone wrong. I expected to bounce back from that automobile accident because, as far as I could tell, I simply suffered a broken collarbone. But as the days and weeks went by, the symptoms were still pretty pronounced, and I was just not ready for that. So I had to, because it got in my way, like it would for anybody else who suffered a brain injury of any consequence. And so I was talking to my doctors, and they didn't have any answers for me that made sense. And so, being the activist that I am, I launched into research mode and went about looking for answers in an orderly fashion, the way I had learned to do in school and undergraduate school and graduate school. My degrees are in social psychology. And so, and that has to do with research and with cause and effect. And so I searched around and found some answers that my doctors hadn't revealed to me. So I was really very elated when I found those lists of symptoms that reflected the changes I'd noticed in myself. However, at the end of those lists were disclaimers that said that doctors should expect to should expect their patients to have such complaints of the type that are now known as post-concussion syndrome when they suffered a severe brain injury. However, in cases of mild to moderate brain injury, they should suspect that their patients were angling for secondary gain in the form of sympathy or insurance payments. And I totally rejected those conclusions out of hand. And once I understood that there was a possible connection between a blow to the head and the changes I noticed in myself, I began to set about putting together, finding help and putting together a plan of action that would get me in a better place, help me to be more effective in my daily routine and relationships. And so one thing led to another. I kept meticulous notes. I talked to a lot of people, many of whom had friends or had themselves experienced a brain injury. And I knew I was on the right track. So after much laborious activity, effort, I put together the framework for a book, user's manual, as it is or was, and because I wanted to have a concrete way to review what had happened to me and what I had done about it and what became, what was useful and what wasn't. And so, you know, I continued along those lines until I had something that was worth doing, that made sense, that was well organized. I also, along the way, found and went intentionally looking for someone else to help me write this book, a co-author. My approach tends to be more flat-footed and pragmatic, wherein others, the book needed the other side of the self, the personal, the and so I after searching for about a year, I found someone who fit that criteria, and so off we went. I brought her up to speed and got some we found some books that supported our thinking and our approach, and we came up with a book called From the Ashes, and then that book was eventually featured on Super Bowl in 2000. And that was quite a feather in the cap because nothing like that had ever happened before. NFL acknowledging that brain injury, concussions as it were, could be very dangerous and could in careers of people that we had previously thought of as being bigger than life and tougher than nails. And so that was a real high point. for me. That association is perpetual and has done worked very, very effectively to open hearts and minds of people who otherwise would be resistant to the notion that any permanent consequence could follow a blow to the head. That was not did not result in one, especially those that did not result in coma and you know, the most severe consequences. So the next thing that happened, the next milestone was that I got a call from the National Institutes of Health. They were looking into brain injury. And they had come across my name on more than one occasion on matters having to do with brain injury. And they found my book and gave me a call and invited me to the National Institutes of Health Consensus Conference on Traumatic Brain Injury Rehabilitation. And that was, oh boy, that was a lot of work, but it was really worth the effort. It did indeed change the landscape of brain injury rehabilitation, and it set in place a federal definition for traumatic brain injury. And so the following year, I was called to work with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on planning for the future, brain injury research and that kind of stuff, programs. So I worked with them as well. In the meantime, while all these other things were going on, there was a survivors movement, which was also growing around the country. People were pretty discontented with the way that brain injury rehabilitation was being handled or offered or not at all, and were looking for ways to change that. And so back then, in the middle 80s, the internet was not available to the public, and therefore, you know, having regular contact with one another was very difficult because most of us lived great distances from one another. And so we it was very expensive and cumbersome to communicate. But we had some issues that we identified, and a lot of them had to do with self-determination and full participation. And, you know, speaking, you know, having our input in our own voice, having our wants and needs included in plans that came down from the federal level, the state level, and the local levels, about programs that would be offered and rights that we'd be allowed to exercise. And that was, you know, certainly the independent living movement grew out of that. Additionally, protection and advocacy organizations also expanded their scope to include, you know, the rights of those with what's sometimes called intellectual injuries, which are sometimes known as post-concussion syndrome. And so those things were going too. So there were lots of activists around at that time. One of our other hosts on another Brain Injury Network program is Ken Collins. And he was very active in the independent living movement in Oregon. And as a result, they came up with some fabulous supported housing units, settings that were just terrific. And I know it took a heck of a lot of effort to achieve such a goal, but they did it anyway and became leaders in the field of independent living. You know, they provided supports and services for people in addition to very nice living units. So it became certainly a model for the nation. And we're very lucky to have Ken Collins to be able to consider him among our hosts on this radio show. He has lots to share, and he's has many, many years of experience. And before we move on to the next statement that I'll make about myself, my background, I certainly want to take a break and point out to people that there is a call-in number in case anyone wants to call in and ask questions or share information. And that number here is 424-243-9540. And that's Brain Injury Radio Network. And we're here to help and inspire you. So by all means, call in with your questions or your comments, and we'd be delighted to entertain those on the air. All right. Final word on those lines is that we have sponsors who we're very, very grateful to for helping to make this show possible and the Brain Injury Network possible. And we want to give a shout-out to TBI Law. I believe that's Gordon Johnson, and for his ongoing and very generous support. I know that Lash Associates also supports Kim Justice's show, and they, of course, deserve a nod. They've been in the business of publishing helpful guides for those with brain injuries and other disorders for many, many years, and they're very prolific, and their materials are excellent, very, very helpful. And they are multilingual, too. So that's another good resource. And finally, I'm going to give another shout-out for my book, and the title is From the Ashes, and it's available for purchase from me at my website, which is Brain Injury Resource Center. Again, that's Brain Injury Resource Center. And the web address is www.headinjury.com. I'm going to spell that out. Head, H-E-A-D, injury, I-N-J-U-R-Y.com. C-O-M, of course. And emails can be sent to Brain, B-R-A-I-N, at headinjury.com. And the hotline phone number or the Brain Injury Resource phone number is 206-621-8558. Again, that's 206-621-8558. And finally, for our commercial messages, there is also... I'd like to give a shout-out to Martha's Fables. She wrote a small book of fables, and I think they're very, very good lessons to live by. So by all means, you can find listings for my book, From the Ashes, by Constance Miller and Kay Campbell, and Martha's Fables on Amazon as well. And so go to Amazon.com to get Martha's book or my book, and mine is available in Kindle, and otherwise you can just give a holler at 206-621-8558 and buy it directly from me. All right, now back to the show. You know, we had a fledgling and a very active brain injury movement, survivors movement, and we made a lot of inroads into the way that we were viewed and treated in the rehab setting, and in terms of enforcing our right to choose to live in the community or not, and just to have greater accessibility and support that was specific to brain injury. So, you know, but such a movement where communication is difficult and travel is expensive and, you know, people have to work for a living for the most part or somehow, you know, their lives take up a chunk of their time, it's really hard to sustain that kind of activity. And so it kind of, after years of, you know, making improvements, like many other movements before it, it petered out for a while. But there are still many others of us who are very busy in our home communities, bringing further improvements and other considerations for us with brain injuries so that we can participate more fully in our communities and have, you know, a greater lifestyle. So that is really terrific. And so it, you know, continues. And here I am today to tell you a little bit more about what I've done in terms of individual survivors working in their communities. We in Washington had a federal grant, a TBI grant, a very tiny amount of money that was intended to serve the entire state. And it wasn't very much, and so it wasn't able to, you know, it was able to do some things, you know, do a small needs assessment and, you know, identify some of the gaps in services and that kind of stuff and investigate the needs of the individuals and their families who suffered brain injuries. So, but, you know, basically we were constrained by the amount of money that was available. And so those federal dollars didn't take us very far. But they, for me, they provided a foundation for what was to come next in terms of the needs and the wishes or the wants of individuals with brain injuries. And so it occurred to me to dig around. That's what I do when a bad thing happens to me. I go into research mode and I look for answers, and then I find other people to take along with me. And that is exactly what I did next. And lo and behold, I found some information about state spending on brain injuries. And I learned to my chagrin that Washington State had was the states that spent the least amount of money on traumatic brain injury. I think the figure was like 47 out of 50 states. I thought that was pretty pitiful, and that something needed to be done about that. So I decided that we could make use of a traumatic brain injury law in this state. And so I looked around, found some models, and put together an initial draft, which was huge, and picked and chose the best of what I saw around. And I put together those things and those features, and then I contacted my legislative champions, as I knew some folks in the legislature back then, many of whom are still there. doing a good work, and I and then I sent it off to him and a bunch of other folks and asked them to take a look at it and let me know, and we went back and forth, up and down, around and about, and finally came up with what is now known as the Traumatic Brain Injury Act. In the course of getting that thing turned into law, from an idea into a law, I made petitions, T-shirts, brochures, and I put together a group of individuals with brain injuries and their supporters, and we went to the legislature, and we went to shopping malls, we went to meetings, we went everywhere and collected more than 800 signatures in just a few months. And that means we talked to a whole lot of other people, because we only wanted the signatures of registered voters, because we were going to the legislature, and they're motivated by votes. And so these folks making a declaration that they're registered voters and they were in support of this thing had an impact on them. So they were taken from all over the state. So this particular bill did not and does not rely on tax dollars. It has its own independent funding source. And it has a feel-good element or two as part of it. And it was something that the legislature could get behind, even though they only had the barest understanding of brain injury. What I did was to emphasize the fact that our troops were coming home with these terrible, terrible life-changing injuries, such as concussions, and that the VA and the Department of Defense had turned their backs, essentially turned their backs on this population suffering from post-concussion syndrome, and usually also suffered from another diagnosis now being called post-traumatic stress. Some of the soldiers don't want to be known as post-traumatic stress syndrome or disorder. They just want post-traumatic stress. They feel that that's easier to swallow. And I go, well, whatever. So anyway, but these folks, these wonderful, valiant heroes, are coming home with these disorders, and they're being treated rather shabbily by the military officials. And so using that information, I impressed on the legislators that these folks were coming home, and they'd bring all the problems that are known to reside in and result from blows to the head or violent shaking or those explosive devices, you know, where that involves a violent shaking, and they'd be coming home with all those difficulties, and we're not ready to deal with them in a way that honors the service, their service to our country and their sacrifice. So that really got the attention of the legislature. Additional points have to do with what happens to children. You know, children are make up a huge chunk of those with brain trauma. And if you were listening to, I believe it was Kim's show a few weeks back, when she interviewed one of the founders of the Brain Project, which is the child addresses itself to child brain injury. And they do a fabulous job. But anyway, you know, these poor children don't stand a chance, and a lot of them grow up and become alienated from their families and their communities, and they drop out, and many of them live under bridges, and freeways and that kind of stuff, and that's a terrible abandonment of these poor innocents who didn't stand a chance before their lives were taken over by brain injury. So we pointed out to the legislators that there would be, they'd likely see spikes in domestic violence, and in addition to spikes in kinds of incidences that would get a person in very serious trouble these days, whereas not so long ago, those were things that were largely overlooked. And, you know, people may have been given a talking to had they been caught engaging in some of those activities, but here more recently, it's off to jail with you. And so people with brain injuries might be more susceptible to that kind of behavioral, out of control kinds of things, and wind up in jail. And then I found a program, I believe it's Frontline, that indicated that people with brain injuries who go to prison spend a lot more time in prison than they would had they not had the brain injury. So, you know, that for me is double jeopardy. So clearly something needed to be done, because the way the brain injury takes over your life and your judgment sometimes is very likely to result in serious kinds of difficulties for you that you might not have experienced had it not been for a brain injury. So these days, you know, offenses that might have been overlooked are now scrutinized very, very closely. And it has broad-reaching implications for your life and your employability and your credit rating and relationships with other folks. And so clearly something needs to be done to stem this tide. In fact, the National Institutes of Health has designated concussion as a public health risk of major proportions. So we got a big problem on our hands, and activists have been in the forefront of turning that around and making sure that our voices were represented at the table and in programs for those with brain injuries and those whose lives are affected by their relationships with people with brain injuries, such as caregivers. So in one session of the legislature, that draft bill that I came up with, and boy, was that ever a labor of love, it was passed by the legislature and funded by non-tax dollars. In fact, some of that money goes to the general fund each year. Some of it's scooped out of the brain injury account and put into the general fund to fill budget gaps. So I'll tell you, I mean, it's so funny because they, you know, I think of brain injury as, you know, the one of the orphan kinds of disabilities, and only recently recognized, and then as soon as we get some money of our own, you know, that's in the public trust, some of it gets scooped away. I'm going, oh my gosh, we hardly get time to get our feet under us before someone's coming to take it away, and you know, just it, you know. It further undermines, it has the effect of further undermining our ability to, you know, restore some kind of sense and dignity to our lives. And so, but that's what we're dealing with. And so Well, it's time to think, put on the thinking caps and come up with, additional solutions for addressing this issue of brain injury and, doing that, making our voices heard on all levels. So, again, at this time, I'm going to take a moment and I'm going to give the guest call-in number, which is here in the Empowerment Zone with Constance Miller. That number is 424-243-9540. And so again, that's 424-243-9540. So at any rate, yeah, it's definitely time to get something else going so that we can, have a more secure future when with the way the economy is going, it's going to be a long time, if ever, before we get back to a more stable financial footing as individuals and as a country and as, in various state and local municipalities, simply because the money's not there. Gee, my knee. And so we need to come up with ideas of things that we can do that can help us to, have a more sustainable future lifestyle. And so I've come up with some ideas for things to do, but and so I've been casting about for structure and support for my next big idea. At the end of July, I submitted my resignation to the Brain Injury Council, which I insisted be part of the the body, the council that oversaw the Brain Injury Trust Fund 6 years after the passage of the Traumatic Brain Injury Act. I felt that I had done all that I could do to make sure that it was on track and that it was offering services to the greatest number of folks. And so it seems to have found its way. Right now it has brought on a lot of new council members because all the old council members or the founding council members, our terms have expired. And so time to bring on some fresh blood. So the council's in transition, but, they seem to have some pretty good ideas about what they want to see in the future, and that's a good thing. And I'd love to see a similar body come together that was outside of the reaches of state government to bring another aspect to brain injury recovery. And that's what I'm promoting. Something like the old Brain Injury Council, but better. The Survivors Council, but better, So, I'm going to work on that. And I'd certainly welcome, ideas from others to do that too. I've heard a wish expressed that, brain injury survivors and activists speak with one voice. Well, that's a good thing. But there's lots to be considered. There's lots of issues left addressed, and so we need to, have a broad platform and prioritization, I think, is important, too. So Oh, my. But we need our own money to do so. And so I think it's important to find a way to raise our own money other than by our traditional reliance on foundation grants and that stuff. Because, oh, my gosh, that is really tough, hard to come by. And it seems like every day there's a brand new charity on the horizon looking for public donors. And boy, oh boy, there's a term that's been coined to address, increasing numbers of charities looking for donations, and that's called, they call it donor burnout. And people are just going, can't do it anymore. So we have to figure out another way of getting the monies that we need to fund our activities so that we can travel, so that we can speak, so that we can create platforms, so we can have a voice that people listen to, people in positions of power. I want to see a change in the way things are done. I want to see a number of changes in the way that things are done. And I don't want to be the one, you know, continually, begging and scrounging around for scholarships and airfare and hotel, and it's just because, we're looking for some organization to give it to us so we can attend these conferences such as the brain injury, the National Institutes of Health Brain Injury Rehab Consensus Conference. That's happened. But the Child Brain Injury Program or an organization, I think it's the Brain Project, they want a consensus conference for children because the back in 86 during the TBI rehab conference, children and coma were specifically excluded from that conference agenda because children's development is so specialized. It's very different than adults. And so it would have taken more time than is legally allowed to conduct the consensus conferences to include a track on children or consideration of children's brain injury. Same thing with coma. Coma is a big question mark. And so they decided to exclude that from inclusion in the consensus conference report. And so, but we need to be able to get there on our own, and we need to be the ones that are that they see as important participants, and that and they come to us. And there is the interagency conference, which takes place every 6 years. And in that time, rules and programs are set out on the federal level. And those are programs and rules that will have very direct impact on brain injury survivors for decades to come. And I know from my experience that if you're not at the table when decisions are being made, it's very likely that those who are making the decisions will not include your wants, your desires. The decision makers in these cases are usually agency heads, and they have their own agendas which come down on high. And they may not match up very well with what survivors in their loved ones would most like to see. So there's the rub. So if you're not at the table when the deal is being made, when the deal is being sealed, it's very likely that there's going to be an awful lot about the rules and programs and availability of funding that you won't like. So that's why it's so important, especially in this economy, to make sure that our voices are included. So anyway, let's see where we are at this point. And I think I'll give another shout out to let listeners know and that the guest call-in number is 424-243-9540. And so that's where people can call. And if you call, then by all means, put your hand up by pressing the number one on your keypad, and you will then I'll see that you have a question, and I'll take your questions. So I just popped over to the chat room, and I'm looking to see. No, exactly how this works. Radio. But it says there are three users. But I think what happens in here, if I remember correctly, and is that you send an email. I'm not sure how that works. Open message history, clear screen, turn on a sound, stop scrolling, and publish my video. Oh, well. Oh, is that? Oh. So, anyway, so if anybody in the chat room or anybody on the phone, which they don't seem to be, you should give a holler, give a shout out, raise your hand, and I will do my best to reach you and give you an opportunity to express a comment or ask a question. Boy, this is really cool. And so at any rate, one thing that I'd like to see going here, it is, you know, I've worked with a number of, I have a few things, and so I'm just going to lay them on you. I've worked with a number of coalitions involving disability issues, and, oh, looks like I have a couple callers. Well, that's me. And then I have someone from 509, and all mute and live might want to try to unmute the 509 area code and see if that's something. But I'll just finish my thought first, which is I've worked with disability coalitions, and I like to see the greater use of social media, especially in terms of blog talk or webinars or that kind of stuff, especially blog talk. I think that has great potential to allow people who are shut in or who decide by choice that they don't want to go from home, but on issues like candidates' forums and that kind of stuff, that people could speak out and make their voices heard. And I think that it's so cool, and I've advocated for that for a while. But so it seems like I can't tell. I'll just open this mic and see if our caller in 509 has a comment. Hello, 509.
Hi, Constance. This was just me. I started your chat room for you, so you weren't. I noticed that it wasn't open, so I opened it for you.
Lovely.
So welcome to Blog Talk Radio. And so, and you know, folks are going to be able to access us from a whole bunch of other networks here shortly.
Oh, how wonderful. That will be fabulous. Looking forward to that.
So like Skype and TalkShoe and Live 365 and actually, yeah, Blog Talk will be the little man on the pole.
Oh, I see. Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, all the above. I don't know. Do you think those things might work together or have the capacity to speak to one another?
Yeah, no, yeah, like, it's hopefully the hosts will have the capacity to work the equipment.
Well,
it did take a little more. It's going to just be different.
Yeah, right, exactly. Looking forward to that.
Did you attend your state's last council meeting, or did you just not that last one? Take a break.
You mean on Thursday?
Yeah.
There was one that was today. So, no. My last council meeting was July. And so there's no reason for me to go back at this point. Was there something on the agenda or something that came up that you heard about?
Well, I call in on that thing, you know, when they turn it on.
Oh,
and, you know, they don't have – is Terry still going or is he not going now or they got an interim? I don't even know what's going on anymore.
That's Terry Redmond, who was the coordinator for the state aging and disability services, and he actually, as it turns out, I believe, has left state employment, and so he would not have attended. I think his last day was on the 13th of
last month, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Because I was gone all month, and I came back, and there's no Terry Redmond no more.
No more Terry Redmond. Oh, my. Yeah, no more Terry Redmond. So that'll happen. Well.
So I wonder who's going to be the next 2-3-year person.
They have to hire somebody and train them. But they've been...
Did you apply?
Did I apply? Are you kidding? No, I didn't apply. No, you must think I'm a real masochist.
That could be fun.
No,
that could be fun. You know, but you want his boss's job, not his job. His boss has a little more authority.
I don't want to be in state government. You know, because when you have, you know, your orders come down on high, they may be totally out of touch with life in the real world. You know, the demands that are put on you and the limitations that you have to operate under are considerable. And so you work at the pleasure of the person who hired you, whether that be a governor's appointment or whether that be a hire by, you know, the department head. You don't have very much to say except, yes, sir, here we go. So that...
Yeah.
I believe there's a position that I don't want. And I'm sure I'd have to do things that I would find very unhappy. And so I wouldn't want to be in that position. I certainly considered applying for Terry's job. Certainly I have all the qualifications. However, it'd be a cold day and you know where before they hired me. Because I made them.
Well, they might.
You never know.
Unlikely, but they might. I could be your co-person.
that would
tickle them.
Oh yeah, they just go into stitches. Yeah, no. See, they wouldn't hire me because I think they think of me as a loose cannon because you know I was the one that spoke out in the council meetings to prevent them from spending the money willy-nilly just so they wouldn't have to actually do any real programs. And I opposed them and was backed up by the legislature on a number of occasions in terms of their strategic plan and the programs that they wanted to fund. The programs that they wanted to fund would have tied up the fund, the brain injury account, in their brain injury account for years to come. And I said, oh, no, you don't. I said, it felt so strange because I was because it didn't seem as though anybody else understood the implications of what they were proposing. And the Brain Injury Association never said a word against any of it. They go, oh, yeah, that's just fine. I'm like, are you kidding? But, you know, when I went to the legislature, they agreed with me, and Aging and Disability Services was ordered to knock it off. And so it was back to the drawing board, and their plans, their strategic plans, was required to reflect the law as it was written in terms of programs that it would fund. So, you know, I was the vigilant one. I was the one that didn't sit by and grin and skin and say, oh, yeah, that looks great, you know, because it would not have made any difference in the way that brain injury is viewed in the community. And I said, no, I don't think so. So there's no way that they would hire me.
I think I have about as good odds as you do.
Very likely. I think you're kind of ticked off at you. You probably embarrassed them on a recent radio show. And so there's no way. The two of us, not a chance in the heck. It would be nice to have a regular paycheck. I'd like that part. But I'd like to, you know, have more to say about what programs get funded, and I'd like to have some, you know, voice with the legislature to put more money into the fund. But if I worked for the state, I couldn't do that. I couldn't lobby the legislature. But, you know, I'd like to see the fund expanded, and the community members who are concerned about these issues can simply get their little wish list together and take their posse to Olympia and get more funding, because it doesn't take a vote of the people. It simply takes a majority vote of the legislature. And the more money that goes into the fund, the more money there'd be for the legislature to scoop out and put into the general fund. So it's a win-win. And so
it'd also be more money to fund the people that are just kind of doing silly services.
Yeah, there'd be that too. Sorry about that. There'd be that too. But, you know, on the other side, and, you know, I mean, there are two sides to every issue, and so, yeah, there'd be that money too. But we, on the other side, on the upside, there'd be more money for people for real services. Like, we need a clubhouse. I was convinced recently, a clubhouse on the east side of the state to start with. I was convinced that the clubhouse in the north end of Seattle is doing good work. I was very skeptical, but I've seen it differently here recently, and so I think.
Let me. What made you see it differently? I'm curious, because I do like the people that work there.
Oh, good. Well, you
know.
What
made
you
see it differently? Because I don't know much.
Yeah. It was set in a setting that was for mental disorders, and they had no experience with brain injury. The Provail, who they got the contract.
Right. Yeah.
And it was falling apart, on the verge of bankruptcy, you know, it was the lack of expertise in brain injury which caused me the greatest concern, and. But some people I've spoken to, a video that I saw, a little documentary on the clubhouse, and was very compelling. It, as it turns out, is a good place for those who need that kind of supportive environment, especially among youthful adults. you know, many of the day programs are housed in senior centers, and folks just will not go to a senior center for a program if they are don't consider themselves, they don't identify with that term. And so and it's usually 18 to 60 or so is the age range, and they're saying, we're not seniors, we're not going. So,
right. Not ready for geriatrics yet, huh?
Not ready for geriatrics, and so it seems to provide benefit. Now, the woman who I knew specifically, she made a video, and she had a brain injury, a pretty severe brain injury, head on crash. No, her name is Bobby Joe Marin. No, Bobby Joe.
Okay.
She's a videographer. Michelle may have played a role in it, and I didn't look at the credits. They may not have been on the tape I saw. But the videographer was Bobby Joe Marin. She formerly worked for King 5 TV. And, you know, and 10 years ago had a terrible brain injury in a motor vehicle collision. And she still has some fairly pronounced symptoms, but, you know, she has good skills. And she was a member of the clubhouse, and she thinks on it fondly. And she and I worked on a video together subsequently, and I have great respect for her. So I said,
is volunteering there, and I think she's awesome. So I think they're doing some of the right moves.
Yeah, so along those lines, I say long may it wave, and I think that, you know, what some discussion at the July council meeting had it that, well, we can't afford another clubhouse. No, we can't. Someone else wanted to have a program in the schools, which is one of your pet areas and concerns, and someone else was another council member argued against it, saying we need another clubhouse. My response was that it in these issues, in these matters, it doesn't have to be either or. It could be, it should be, you know, inclusive. There's plenty of money that could go in the fund simply by raising the amount of the fines, even double. I mean, if we tripled them, they'd be, you know, amassing a considerable amount of money, and we could have a program in the schools, much like the one that operates out of Oregon. They do a tremendous job, and you know how desperately the programs in the schools for students with brain injuries are needed. So I'm thinking,
you end up in our state, at least, in the designed instruction classes with a severe brain injury, and so you know you have a variety, but it's pretty powerful. You know, you got to teach them to dream first. You know, because for some reason we stop teaching them once they get a disability. I don't know why that is.
Well, I mean, if they're out of your control, if they're dreaming their dreams, then it might be pretty hard to get them to just kind of sit still and be quiet and behave. You know, they may want things that you're not equipped or prepared to deliver on their behalf, and so it's inconvenient. So
I think that way of thinking is changing because, you know, they used to, when employment was good, they used to have tons of janitorial jobs for them. You know, now they're finding, it'd be fast food, janitorial, you know, stuff like that is what they were trying to find. And I've worked with thousands of kids now. Only one of them has ever had that dream.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. So, exactly right. You know, and if you have a brain injury and you go to DVR, Department of Vocational Rehab, you won't get much help there unless you want to be a janitor or you want to do fast food or something totally mundane. And they'll bump you out of the program in a minute. They'll stall and delay. And they are not very helpful at all. So that was my experience as with DVR, that, you know, they're very rigid and uneven in their treatment of folks, especially those with brain injuries.
Yeah, and it's tough because they don't give you enough equipment to even do what they the minimums of what they want. So it's easy to get us off the program.
Yeah, exactly. So dreaming the dream and being supported to live your dream is not something
right.
that's going to happen. And,
and
it starts in the school. The supports, yes. The schools are very important in that way to give a child the confidence, to help the child find its strengths so that they can work from their strengths as opposed to, being shoved into this little cubby hole.
Well, and right now, we have a bunch of TACs and their teacher advisory, whatever it stands for. And it wasn't bad enough that 9th through 12th grade, they were prepping these kids to apply for these jobs that we were just talking about. Well, now, mm-hmm. by 11th grade, they're actually doing these jobs. So when they graduate, they're working in these jobs.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
And so and they're calling that a success because, they spent 2 years volunteering to get a paid job and something that, more than likely is going to fizzle out on them. Some stay. I know a few people that have stayed in fast food or, I can think of one man who's been there 16 years and it's a job, he's stuck. But most of them don't last, because it's not their passion.
Right, exactly. Now, along those same lines, and this takes us a step back both in time and in setting, there was a surfer band in the 1960s called Jan and Dean, and they were very, very successful during their brief career. And, young teenagers, lots of money, so Jan Barry bought a Corvette, a shiny new Corvette, and he lost it on Dead Man's Curve. And they even wrote a song about it. But Jan Barry, unfortunately, suffered a severe brain injury as a result of that collision. And he was put in a rehab facility in Southern California. And they tried to pigeonhole him into their little programs. But this guy was a fantastic musician of worldwide fame. And he just wouldn't go for it. And, in fact, is the upshot of all this is that now there is a program in that Southern California brain injury facility that's named for him. And it's one in which patients can have a greater voice in tailoring their rehabilitation, that it caters to their strengths and their interests, and prepares them to do what they used to do maybe a little bit differently.
Right.
So that's the kind of thing that I'd like to see more happening. There's plenty of money because the money for, in this state at least, because the money for the brain injury fund comes from extra fines on motor vehicle infractions, and people are still whipping around like crazy in their vehicles and having collisions and getting these tickets and that money, a part of that money goes into the fund. So, and if the amount of the fines were to be increased, we would be sitting pretty. So that's my strongest word of encouragement for folks. It's very doable. I'd certainly be happy to give anyone interested in taking up such an issue to give them the benefit of my experience and wish them well. It's a very doable thing. So this has been lovely, and we still have a bit of time to go. And I see we're here on our own. I don't know how to, recognize whether someone has a chat, a question in the chat room. And So
you'll see it. You'll see it. I'm not by the computer now, but I didn't. Yeah, they were there in there, but they weren't typing. That I saw.
Oh, they type on the screen.
Right.
It appears
you'll
on the screen
yes.
when they type. Oh, cool. Wow. Yeah, that's the way it used to be in the old days, and you know, in the chat rooms. So that's terrific. Good to know that.
Yeah, here in a couple of weeks, we'll be launching our new chat room. And so, folks, you'll just use the braininjuryradio.com. It'll hopefully by Tuesday go to our new site. And we will have audio and video chat so people can chat afterwards online, either face-to-face or voice-to-voice or word-to-word, however they want to do it.
Whoa, that's amazing. So that's next week, huh?
It'll be facing there. Yeah, I'm going to start testing it. And then on the 26th of next month, for those of you who are following what we're doing, we'll be in Oklahoma City doing Brain Injury TV. It'll be our first episode, and you can see that on Spreecast.
Oh.
So that'll be fun.
Well, tell me, what is this Brain Injury TV about? What? I mean, you know, I can imagine all kinds of fabulous things, but I'd like to – I have a better sense. Is that cable?
Yeah. Spreecast. Well, right now, internet TV is starting to boom, kind of like internet radio was. And Spreecast is one of those tools. And I believe Facebook owns Spreecast, but don't hold me to that. But it's because it came out of nowhere, real big. So whoever is behind it had a lot of money. And we are going to premiere Brain Injury Radio on that, and we'll also do the radio portion as well. It'll be radio and TV, and it'll be at the April concert, which is the National Independent Living Centers for Rural Areas.
I see. Whoa, major. So
I'm tired of messing with. You know, I've tried for 5 years in our state to do things, so I'm going to go where people want to do things.
Wow. Oklahoma City, huh? Outrageous.
Yeah, of all places, but you know, you got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah, yeah. So does that mean you have to travel there?
Yeah, I'll go to Oklahoma, and Les Paul, you'll get to see Les Paul. It'll be me and Les Paul.
Oh, I see. And how long will you be there? You're not abandoning anyone, are you?
I'll just be there a couple of days. I'll probably leave the 27th, get back home, because, you know, single father's hard to be gone long.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Wow. That's great.
So I'll go there for probably 3 days, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. So how would other people see this, or...
I'm Spreecast.com, and I'll get some links out here shortly, and you'll be able to do it here, see us there, you'll be able to hear us here, and you'll be able to talk to us on TalkShoe, which is going to be our new phone system, so there'll be several ways to access it, so it ought to be interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So could anybody use it, you know, reach it on a regular cell phone or a land phone or that kind of thing?
Yep,
or
That's what TalkShoe is going to be about. That's going to be our new phone call-in system. Mm-hmm. And so you'll be able to reach us on your phone, on TalkShoe, and on Skype in our new thing.
Good. Wow. That's amazing. And looking forward to that. That sounds like fun. So
It will. And we'll be reaching more audiences because, you know, right now, Blog Talk, you know, we're reaching, you know, thousands, but we'll be on streaming on Shoutcast. We'll have our, you know, we'll be actually streaming to about 11 different services like Blog Talk simultaneously. So that'd be a big thing for us.
Yeah. That is fabulous. Well, you are such a little innovator making things happen.
Well, we'll see how it works. I may crash the government's computer system yet. You never know. I crashed my network. You know, it takes a lot of effort.
Yeah, so this is a private entity that's willing to pay a sponsorship. Is that what I'm hearing?
What? Ask that question one more time. My daughter just interrupted my head.
I was wondering. Yeah, right. If there was private funds that are sponsoring this, is that what's going on?
Yep. Well, it is. Yeah, we depend on sponsorship. That's how we keep this going. But
yes,
my our goal, for a lot of people don't know this, we just started a internet. We're offering domain space, web design, shoutcast servers, dedicated servers. So we're basically a internet company now, and you know, we charge like $129 for unlimited everything for a year.
Oh, I see. Wow, that's good.
And my goal is in a year to be self-sustaining, so that sponsorships can add to new programs rather than, you know, to keep this going, because you know we are in the top 100 users of throughput, which is traffic. You know, between our almost 400 sites, we use a lot of it's called throughput. We use a lot of that, and so you know, many of our sites are getting over a million hits a year. You know, we're just using a lot of traffic, and you know, so having that much traffic, it made sense to buy it bulk, pre-buy it.
Yeah.
The throughput, and so as we do that, we got really good prices, and we got licensing to like Softalicious, you know, all of the popular layout forms, and I believe, you know, there may be more, some that have more. We have more variety of choices of how to lay out your website than anyone in the United States now.
Wonderful.
Yeah, literally, we got 10,000 templates, like 50 CMS programs, which is like WordPress and Drupal, and you know, 50 of those. Yeah, I didn't even know there were 50 of them.
I didn't even know there was one, but I've heard that term WordPress before. Is that like a okay? It's like a WordPress
program. No, WordPress is a CMS, and that stands, I can't remember. It's to manage your data. It's a management system. Mm-hmm. So it's basically, you can build a website without coding. You know, so it's pretty easy. And right now, just in our country, I think it's 8 out of 10 or 7 out of 10 sites are built on WordPress right now.
Whoa, that's a lot. That must be.
Yeah,
a new
so
they
capitalized. Right. Well, I don't use WordPress as much anymore because it's vulnerable to a lot of stuff, a lot of spam, and that's just too much work cleaning up spam.
Yeah.
And so
I see.
And I think that'll probably be what they'll be working on next, is figuring out how to secure it, because if they ever secure it, if they can secure what they have right now, they would own the market, you know, because they own the market now.
Huh.
But people are, but you get a good site and it gets taken down, you know, people kind of get a bad taste.
Yeah. I totally understand that. I hate it when that happens. So it looks like we have another person entered the studio here, the queue. And in area code 803, and I'm thinking maybe we should try and...
All right. I'll shut up. I think that's Les Paul, but I'll shut up and let you guys yak for a while.
Yeah, that'll be good. And if you would just hang in there, too, that'd be great to have the two of you, the three of us going at it. Here you go. Hello there, caller.
Hello, it's Les Paul. How are you doing?
Les Paul, fabulous, especially now that you're here.
Oh. I'm sorry I couldn't be there earlier. I've been really, really. I heard someone else say something. I'm sorry. Did someone else say something?
I must have been an echo.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry I wasn't here for the beginning. I've been in some really busy things today. I've been busy from the time I woke up until this very moment. We had a brain injury support group in our local Augusta, Georgia meeting tonight. And we had a wonderful meeting. I lost track of the time.
I left
about 8-something, and then I went over to my girlfriend's house, and I said, what am I forgetting? I couldn't remember what it was. And it was this. I'm sorry, I didn't come on for the first minute.
Yeah, really? That's hilarious. Well, I'm glad you finally figured it out and came on over to join us here. And we were having a delightful conversation about the future of Brain Injury Radio Network from the technological point of view. And I don't know if you
Isn't
heard
it amazing?
I'm just
It's just amazing.
Yeah.
It's blown my mind. I think I've blown a gasket. It's so exciting. It really is.
Well,
to think
to have
that
a,
I and
yeah.
you. Go ahead.
No, I think it's just wonderful to have a shot at the old technology before I'm stepping up to even newer and better technology. That's
going
to be fun. You're such a veteran at all this.
The future's so bright, I got to wear shades even at night.
Oh, boy, you are out of the words to myth. I love it. So, you and Craig are going to launch a new program, the TV in Oklahoma, Brain Injury TV. That is amazing.
So
what are you going to use for visual? Right.
Oh, boy. I was talking with my senior and my personal supervisor, Tiffany and Cindy, Tiffany Johnson and Cindy Anzik all day today about it. That's one thing that they kept calling me and saying, well, we need to get this straightened out. And then we got the information from Craig, and we're talking back and forth and back and forth, getting all kinds of things, the logistics set up for us to meet in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I think it's Tulsa. I think it's in the right place. And I'm excited about it because, you know, Craig started this. He's the real groundbreaker for this. He's the one that got it all fired up and started.
That's the powerhouse.
And I know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That power to the people moment when he just said, okay, survivors have got to come forward.
Yeah. Survivors should come forward. You know, there is the Brain Injury Association chapter down there in Enid, Oklahoma. And sure, the word out to them, they'll be looking forward to this opportunity. So,
what do you think when you say the name Empowerment Zone? I just wonder how you feel about that name. That when you say Empowerment Zone yourself, how do you feel about that? I'm sorry, I thought you were saying something. Well,
no,
okay.
Oh, tell me, you said.
I was going to say when I was first asked by Craig if I wanted to be part of a Brain Injury Radio show, after being on it, I guess about 9 or 10 months, he started talking about the new networks and everything, and I got thinking about independent living centers, how they're so misunderstood by people, that they're run by people with disabilities of all types, brain injury included, all types of disabilities, and that they're there to help you help yourself. And I was talking with my supervisor one day, and I said, I'm thinking about being crazy enough and bold enough to say I want to start a new show and have other hosts take part of it. Because even Craig and some other people on Brain Injury Radio were saying, Les, I don't know if you should take on 2 shows 4 times a week. So I said, I'm willing to try, but I don't know about that. And so I said, well, we need to get some other hosts that have the same kind of like-minded and want to help people and empower other people. And so my supervisor said, one of the things I hear you say more than any other word you say is empowerment, and things like that. And so I right there, I just said, well, then the Empowerment Zone is it, because I'd actually had that thought go through my head, but I wasn't sure about it, because it's empowering people with disabilities to thrive.
Exactly.
Look at you. You got your own show now. Yay.
Look at that world. Here she is. Oh, my gosh.
That's right. Here she comes. Walking down the street.
You got it. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I could just fall right into that cadence and run with it for a while, but I'll save that for another occasion. That was perfect. But, empowerment as an empowerment zone is a term that I've held as among my favorite, empower and enable survivors of brain injuries to thrive. That's part of the way I think about it, to provide tools and insights for greater understanding of brain injury and the ways of the world. And Those are certainly among the top two. Those things there that I think of, I think of empowerment, you know, to have a real voice a meaningful voice in their communities. And as a result of all those things that you and I just listed, I believe that people would, survivors and their caregivers would be thought of as valued contributing members of their communities. You know,
exactly. And we want to be treated as equals, not lower, not higher. We want to be equal.
Equitable.
You know?
Equitable. Yeah.
Exactly.
And
like
so far we're not getting it. That's right. A theme that ran through the 1998 traumatic NIH, National Institutes of Health, Traumatic Brain Injury Consensus Conference was that we get no respect.
That's
okay?
Right.
We get no respect.
I often think of the comedian. I can't say his name right now because, let me tell
Rodney
you. I get no respect. Let me tell you. Rodney Dangerfield.
Rodney Dangerfield. That's right. That's right. We get no respect. And that was the message that I took to the National Institutes of Health in my comments at the TBI Rehab Consensus Conference that, you know, we're not given. Yeah.
Well, we're going to change that. If people feel like they don't have the power, we're here at the Empowerment Zone to show them that we can. We're people. Yes, we can. We have the right, and we've got the might, and we're going to do it. And I'm so glad you're on board. I appreciate you coming on, willing to take it on. It's awesome.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, you know, like a term that Kim Justice uses in her description of her show is she calls it a gathering place. Okay?
Yeah.
And I think that is absolutely perfect, a complement to your term of empowerment zone. And and I know that after a brain injury, many people develop this fear and apprehension about acting in their own best interest of they don't trust themselves, and
exactly.
And they're hesitant, or they just fail to take the lead to speak
exactly.
out
You're
and
right.
express themselves. And so I hope that using our examples, I mean, Les, I've heard your story over and over again, you know, about how
like a broken record, right?
You came back. No. Like a good record, like a hit record that you want to hear.
I know what you mean.
Because
it's
inspiring, you know, the way you came back and the struggle and the things you're doing now.
The struggle makes it worth the joy of the ride. It really does. In the beginning,
absolutely.
I was the person, just like every one of us, that has gone mm-hmm. through severe trauma that didn't want to be a leader, didn't think I could be a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And my goodness, mm-hmm. I didn't ever think I'd have a radio show. My goodness, wow, me have a radio show? Are you serious?
Yeah, really.
So, and we want other people to step up and say, really, me with a radio show? Maybe, but I don't think
really.
So. Are you crazy? Frank?
Why is that?
I can hear the empowerment in your voice talking right now. I feel it in me today, and today has been a beautiful day. I have talked brain injury so much today. I can't believe I've talked it for several hours today.
Mm-hmm.
At our support meeting tonight, first at work today, I actually
mm-hmm.
met with my supervisor for a while, and I said, Cindy, that's her name, I said, we need to have
mm-hmm.
some classes because I've been meeting with some of the staff who happen to be brain injury survivors, but they don't claim it.
Mm-hmm.
Some also have spinal cord injury. Some have blindness. Some have other disabilities, but they also have brain injury as the main instigator of what caused all of it. and I sat with these guys. We had a birthday kind of bash thing at work. I can't think of what they called it, but potluck and everything for all the employees.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I sat there, and two other people who worked there told me, oh, you mean a concussion's a brain injury? I didn't know that.
Wow.
And so I was asked if I would do some classes on brain injury today to help people know that they have a brain injury or not. So there's a lot of people even working in disability agencies that might not know that they're classified as brain injury.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of TBI survivors out there, thrivers, that don't even realize that they're going by the term blind, but became blind because their head went through a windshield and they were in a coma for 3 weeks. That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was an amazing day today. I can't even express how cool and unusual it was, because I don't usually talk out as much as I did today, but I talked my head off today.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, I know you're going to do awesome, awesome, awesome. So I just wanted to say hello and welcome to the Empowerment Zone. And take your challenges and, you know, let's take it head on and do a beautiful job. I know we're going to do fantastic things.
Yeah, of course. Now, thank you so much, Les. I really appreciate your being here today. Your energy is infectious. And so you always have so much interesting things to offer. And so it's just terrific. And I want to take a moment and speak out to Craig again and ask him if he has any words to wrap up this session, because we're coming down to our last quarter hour. And I just want him to make any final comments that he might have for this segment. Greg, is that something you want to do?
For you guys, you know, we're building such an incredible team of reporters or narrators, whatever, your hosts, whatever you want to call ourselves.
Commentators, contributors.
Yeah, and we haven't stopped. I mean, we are getting people in all walks of life, all abilities. It is just an incredible thing. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see where we go.
Yeah, that's, fabulous.
Yeah.
And, thank you so much for that. And I want to, I just want to put it out there, and then I'm going to make a commercial announcements again to wrap this thing up, that the NFL settlement is in the works. And I'd like to do a show on that, because the way that it's being presented in the news, it seems like, the players who sued the NFL are going to get a jackpot out of it. But I think that's not exactly the case. And so from what I've heard from other more thoughtful and authoritative sources, it's not such a wonderful thing after all, but it was what could be obtained under the circumstances in the minute, and it was very masterfully handled by the NFL. You know, they got lots of money and lots of PR people and lots of bandwidth, so of course they would have a good handle on it. Anyway, so I'm going to look forward to doing that in the near future while the issue is still current. And just to give people a sense of what I've learned about how this thing shakes out. Anyway, and finally, I want to give a shout out to our sponsors, and that's the TBI Law Firm. And it's amazing that anybody is so generous with their funds and their devotion to the cause to support Brain Injury Radio Network. Lash and Associates, again, is another supporter. I believe that's Kim's show. And they need a nod of recognition and thanks. And we need to encourage our listeners and our friends to visit these people, their sites, and help them, those who support us. We're kind of like PBS in that regard. And the ones who are willing to talk to us and support us and share things with us, those are our friends and those are our family, and those are the ones that we should embrace. Lash and Associates just does a whole ton of work, and it should be acknowledged and embraced. And finally, there is my book, From the Ashes, featured on Super Bowl 34, and it's available on my website. You can place your orders there at headinjury.com. That's headinjury.com. And you'll find links there. Send me an email, and I'd be happy to talk with you and give you a copy of the DVD with the 5.5-minute Super Bowl DVD that featured it, so that you could use that to educate other folks about brain injury. And finally, I'd like to, again, give a shout-out for the book, the little book of fables, Martha's Fables, Very Good Lessons to Live By. It's available on Amazon. And just a funny note, I found that used copies of my book, From the Ashes, are being sold on Amazon for as much as $1,500 a copy. Okay?
Wow.
Yeah. Just go look on the used book section of Amazon, From the Ashes by Constance Miller, and you will find, Kay Campbell is my co-author, but you will find the listings that go from $90 a copy plus shipping and handling up to $1,500. Now that says a whole lot. And that is so funny. I find it to be a tremendous compliment. However, brand new copies are available from directly from me, and what I've encouraged people to do is to buy a new copy, read it, and then hang on to it for a while if you choose, and then offer it for sale as a used book on Amazon, and that's a tickle. So at any rate, yeah, so, you know, we have a pretty outstanding group here of hosts, and the shows are absolutely powerful, and I like to listen in as much as possible, and I always gain benefit from it. So I'll be reaching out to the visitors to my website, headinjury.com, to let them know that I'm doing the show and that they can bring their questions there to the show. So I'm learning a lot about this broadcast business, and so I want to put the word out there and bring people down so they can have access to you all with your wealth of knowledge to learn from and grow from and just enjoy. So any final comments, Les or Craig?
I just want to say thank you once again for a great show and for listening to it.
Okay.
Great job.
A lot of work to it.
Oh, boy, I'll say that guy. Powerhouse. Absolute powerhouse. And, yeah, and the ever charming and entertaining Les Paul. Fabulous work. Tim Justice and everybody else who is can be counted among the hosts and contributors to Brain Injury Radio Network. I love it. It's so fabulous. Yay! Well, it sounds like we had a little static there for a moment. Wow, a little technical difficulty. But I don't know. Is there some music or anything that we can go out on? I don't have any. I'm doing good just to be in the studio. So I don't have anything else to offer up, except to thank everybody who called in and any of those who kind of just listened in. And I certainly see you on the radio in a couple weeks when I do a joint session with is it Les and Ken Collins and Kim Justice. I think we're going to share the hosting responsibilities for the fourth Thursday.
I think that would be cool for us to do it like that. I think it would.
Yeah, I think that's the idea that you promoted last time we talked about it, and that would be so cool because when we've been on the air together on the internet, the ether, or whatever it is we're on, you know, the energy is just absolutely intense.
It is.
The perspectives, that we bring.
Well,
each of
so I will close you off then with Take It All by Insane from Pain. It's a band that the lead singer sustained a brain injury, and it's called Take It All.
Well, I love it. Thank you.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.